Michael, you got to check out the salad. It's pretty good. Anyway, we appreciate Michael joining us on the Stickies Rock and Roll Chicken Shack Hotline and talking a little college football from BleacherReport.com. How are you, man?
I'm doing fantastic. How about you guys?
We're good. Obviously, we're hungry because we're all talking about lunch. But okay, so SEC meetings, we sort of recapped it, I guess, on Monday, but there was still some interesting things that came out of it that are applicable to all of college football, not just the SEC. Chief among them, the poorly named Division IV proposal that Mike Sly brought up. As I said before, they have a nomenclature issue there. It should be called D1 plus or D0 because you're moving the other way, not down. But regardless of all that, the concept is that the Big Five conferences would have some sort of special opportunities as far as compensating athletes and further setting themselves apart. Do you think it's likely? Is it a good idea? And what kinds of things do you think should be included if you do?
I think it's a good idea, at least in theory, the idea. I think it's a good idea to push for it and to put it on the table so that the NCAA knows that there's another option. There's something else that could happen. And more importantly, which I don't think enough people are talking about, so that the schools in the FCS part of Division I and the schools in the lower of the Sun Belt, the Conference USA, the MAC, so they understand that there's another option on the table because that's what's going to generate change. Everybody has the vote on these things, and we saw it with the player stipend, schools like Boise State, schools in the MAC, schools in the Sun Belt, dragging their feet on full-cost scholarships because they couldn't afford it, so they didn't want anybody else to have it. And I think as they start talking about Division IV, they start talking about reclassifying, these schools realize, oh, no, if they leave, we won't have anything, and I think that's going to help get things done. And by things done, I mean player full-cost stipends. I think that also means, you know, different sorts of offerings in terms of health insurance long-term, in terms of lifetime education, things that have already been on the table for the bigger conferences.
But isn't it true that it's not just the MACs and Sun Belts? It's every member of the NCAA has an equal vote.
No, they vote by division right now. And when you look at it, the thing that held back the full-cost stipend was the members of Division I. And now it is the members of Division I that don't have football teams but have basketball teams. They get a vote. But what you're seeing really is the schools that play football, the schools that can't afford it. Division I is its own entity, and they all vote together. Division II doesn't get to decide what Division I does. The same thing with Division III. But all of Division I does get to decide. And I think what they're realizing is if these guys leave, we won't have anything.
So there are 440 schools play basketball, and those that don't have football, their vote counts the same as a football school?
It depends on the issue that they're voting on. If it's a football-only measure, I believe only the football schools vote. But when you're talking about a division-wide move, which would include basketball, then absolutely they get a vote because it does impact how they govern their, how they run their athletic department, how they run their sports as well.
So there's no way any legislation is ever going to pass that costs more money.
Well, actually, that's the big thing here, is it will pass. These schools, they can't afford to lose those schools. If they create a Division IV, if they reclass to where you only have the Pac-12, the Big 12, the Big 10, the ACC, the SEC, and Notre Dame, if they reclass in that manner, that means those are the only schools that are in the Division IV basketball tournament. The NCAA tournament can't exist without Kentucky, without Kansas, without North Carolina, UCLA. And I don't care how much people say that they love schools like, you know, you don't have a Georgetown and pretty much no one else, and they can't exist that way. So offering that autonomy is a concession that they're willing to make. It's the same thing what we're seeing with the playoff, where the playoff has been a push by the Big Five to gain access bowls, and in return, they give those schools kickbacks in terms of the one access bowl for them. They give them kickbacks in terms of the play-in games with respect to the buyout games where they play lower-ranking schools and give them money. That's the return that they get on their investment in allowing these other schools to be a little bit more autonomous in nature.
Do you think when they say D4, they're thinking about making it four conferences?
No, I think they're talking about reclassifying where it's just the Power Five conferences and Notre Dame.
Okay, I think they need a new name. Nomenclature can be worked on, though. That's no big issue. Look, we got wrong numbers of schools in the Big 12 and the Big 10 and a couple others. I mean, that's the way it goes, so that's fine. We can fix that, I suppose. If you're just tuning in, Michael Felder from Bleacher Report joining us. Michael, a story that I read on Bleacher Report kind of falls in line with something we were talking about earlier. Nick Saban's got this new deal. He's the highest paid guy, and appropriately so. He's got a chance to potentially make $7 million this year. But I was just reading online on Bleacher Report about the deal that Rich Rod got down at Arizona, which not only is he making $2 million plus, but he's also, he and the some of the other major coaches, including Sean Miller, have a chance to be part of this group that's set up by a booster that could make them the richest coaches in all of college athletics if the, I guess, if the value continues to grow of this limited partnership that they're going to be made part of. It's a unique arrangement. I assume it's all good by the NCAA. Are you familiar intimately with the Rich Rod deal?
Yeah, they're actually it's a little bit more than an annuity. We saw an annuity with Bud Foster. For as long as he stays at Virginia Tech, Virginia Tech's going to bank an annuity for him that's closer to $1 million for him to stay on top of his regular salary.
Mm-hmm.
With Rich Rod, what we're seeing is him basically, this is stock options. What they're saying is, at the once your contract terms are up, you will be a vested member. You will have, and depending on how much that stock grows, I mean, right now it's worth about $6 million is what he's looking at. But if it grows, let's say it doubles, then that's $12 million at the end of his term. And he gets paid $2 million a year. It's an eight-year term. $2 million over 8 years is that $16 million.
Mm-hmm.
But you throw an extra six on there, that's like working three more years without actually having to do anything. And if you know how money works, if you don't have to do anything and you can still get a couple extra years of work, worth of money out of it, that's a good deal.
If they fire him, does he still have a chance to get vested?
I think that's going to be the interesting part for me. That's the part I'm the most curious about, because we know how buyouts already work. There's got to be buyout language in there. I'm waiting to see when they release this contract, because I'd love to go through it, because they've got to have some sort of a buyout option here, because you can't let him sit on that money. You can't let him get fired, you can fire him. But his lawyer has got to be sitting there, his agent's got to be sitting there thinking, well, we still want to get some of this money. We want to get all the money that we can get. And it's more than just the buyout. This is, now it makes it a little bit more complicated.
Yeah, it is an interesting deal. I mean, and you, I guess, as the arms race from a financial standpoint continues to grow, you got to find creative ways, if it's not in your athletic budget, to try to compensate these guys. I got to give them credit. That's thinking outside the box, or outside the foundation, as it were. Michael Felder joining us again from BleacherReport.com. Nick Saban's deal, not surprising, I guess. Question came up earlier on our Keith Lee Service Company live fan feedback from a listener. How soon, he suggested, would it happen within 5 years? How soon till we see a $10 million college football coach?
Well, the same for me is I'm surprised we haven't seen one yet, especially with the private school.
Yeah.
But I think what we're going to be dealing with is Nick Saban's deal is going to be the one to watch, because he's got instant escalators that require him to be among the top three highest paid coaches and above the SEC average. And if someone makes more, he has to be in between the first and second highest paid coach, the average of their salaries. He's got to make that much. So his deal is going to push somebody else's deal up. The curious places to watch, obviously Michigan, obviously Ohio State. We know about LSU. We know they've got money in Texas at A&M. So I think that the cue for me is going to be, who's going to find some success? We know what Alabama's doing. We know Alabama's not going to give him a raise unless somebody comes knocking at the door. So if someone comes knocking at his door, that number, I mean, $3 million on top of $7 million, that's not a tough number to reach to. But watching these other schools work, if Urban Meyer goes out and he puts together a national championship run this year, look for his number to go up. And when his number goes up, look for Nick Saban's number to go up.
Yeah.
So it's one of those things where you got to look at the school and you got to look at how much they can afford to spend. And I think Ohio State's probably the best candidate because of how much money they have. And they actually have a football team with a coach that can really reach new heights. So that's going to be the one for me. I think that's going to drive that number up. Because Urban Meyer, he's got two national championships of his own, and he's looking for a third one.
Yeah, that's a good point. We brought him up also, Jimbo Fisher down at Florida State. Because,
yeah,
I mean, he's had
Fisher, yeah. Florida State didn't have the money.
Yeah, okay. Well, there's an issue then. Mm-hmm. Okay, I know the thing I like about getting Bleacher Report guys on, including Michael, is their singular focus. So if you ask them about other things, they generally say, I have no idea, don't pay any attention to that. So what are you most likely to watch this weekend outside of something related to college football, which it's a tough time of year for you? Belmont Stakes, NHL Finals, or the NBA Finals?
I will probably put on the NBA Finals, but the fact of the matter is, for me, this weekend, I'll probably be watching baseball.
See,
the Astros just called up John Singleton. He had a home run last night. I'll be watching. I love baseball.
Okay.
It's my first sports love. I'll be watching baseball this week.
So you are just like Barrett then. He's basically college football, SEC specific, and Atlanta Braves baseball, and that's it.
Yeah, so. That's Barrett. I'm pretty similar to that as well. So I I love my team. I'll be watching Houston. They play Minnesota over the weekend. They got the Angels in the middle of the week right now. So that's me. Baseball. I watch a little bit of tennis. I just couldn't get into Roland Garros this time around because I've just been so busy with work. But I like tennis a little bit, but baseball, college football is my one and two.
We have no Americans left either on the female side. We don't have any men tennis players that are highly competitive at all anyway, I don't think at this point. So anyway, all right, cool. Michael, we appreciate the time. Thanks for the insight.
Thanks so much. You guys take it easy.
All right, Michael Felder, BleacherReport.com. Yeah, it's sad, man. We don't have either of the Williams sisters.
Yeah.
And let's see, there's Sloane Stephens. Is that the girl's name? We got no American men. Who's the best American men's tennis player today?
I can't name one that's still competing.
Can't either.
Is
Andy Roddick still the best American tennis player, even though
he's been
playing?
Retired for a couple of years? I don't know.
That's sad. I like Roland Garros because I like, especially if they have to dive for a ball because you come up with the clay all over your clothes. I think that's awesome.
I like to watch tennis.
I do too. I like Wimbledon and Roland Garros. That's all I watch. So I don't watch anything outside the French and Wimbledon.
Taylor Townsend's pretty good.
Who dat?
Excites him. I mean, I don't.
Is it a boy, male or female?
Oh, it's a girl.
Hmm.
So that doesn't count, does it?
I mean, we've got a few females.
But you know what's even better?
Can I claim
it?
Andy Murray? He's British. That's the next best thing, right?
Close enough. He won Wimbledon?
Yeah, and he's got a. No, he lost in Wimbledon. He won the Olympics. At Wimbledon.
In London, yeah.
At whatever that's called. The land of strawberries and cream. And he's got a super hot fiance that continues to just hang out and wait for whenever he wants to pull the trigger. We both like Rafael Nadal, who had a birthday yesterday. David Ferrer. Is he Spanish? Andy Murray. Most of these guys like Kuznetsova's playing today.
What about like the 6'7" tennis player that played in the longest match in history a couple years ago?
Yes, I don't think those guys were.
David Ferrer is Spanish.
Yeah, thank you. Look at that. See, I do know a little bit. Yeah, Maria Sharapova's still alive. So for you, you dudes out there that like female tennis players, usually she's among the favorites.
I'm one of those guys. You should see them on TV. They're great.
I like women's tennis because they seem to have more volleys.
That's why I watch it too.
Yeah. I don't know which surface has the longest volleys for dudes. I would guess that grass is probably up there, but I don't
know. Yeah, probably so.
Or maybe that's less. I don't know. I'm an idiot. I have no idea. All right. It's 11:50.
We'll keep up with it.
Sure, fine.
We need to get a rush of American professional tennis players.
That would be nice.
Gary said that Murray won the last Wimbledon.
Oh, he did? Okay.
According to Gary.
I believe him.
Okay.
Gary Horn?
That was earlier
this
year?
No, this was
because he lost
Gary
last year, and then he came back and won this year? All right, I'll buy it. I'm not paying very close attention.
Well, that's why we have great guys like Gary calling.
Thanks, Gary.
Thanks, Gary. That tennis update brought to you by Landers Ford in Benton.